It's not how much you make. It's not what your revenue is. It's what's left in your bank account at the end of the month.
But I am the world's biggest super fan.
You're like a super fan.
Welcome to the Business Superfans Podcast. We will discuss how establishing business superfans from customers, employees, and business partners can elevate your success exponentially. Learn why these advocates are a key factor to achieving excellence in the world of commerce. This is the Business Superfans Podcast with your host, Freddie D.
Ready!
Hey, superfan, superstar, Freddie D here. Welcome to episode 149 of the Business Superfans, the Service Providers Edge podcast. In this episode, we're joined by Debbie Decknight, founder of Right Way Profits, who tackles a pain every service-based business knows, messy books and bank balance decisions that leak profit and create constant cash stress. Drawing on years of running multi-million dollar operations before launching her own firm, Debbie now pairs clean, decision-ready financials with profit-first cash management for trades and service companies. Her approach, multiple purpose, built accounts, and disciplinary allocations, keeps owners paid, taxes covered, and payroll calm. You'll hear how that system helped an auto repair shop double revenue and found growth from real profit. If you want money left in a bank every month and a business that finally pays you, this conversation shows you the path. Welcome, Debbie, to the Business Superfans Podcast. We had an interesting conversation before we started recording. We both spent some time in Illinois. And some similar places, we're actually neighbors indirectly. I was in Hanover Park, you were in Streamwood, so next door neighbors in a sense.
Thank you for having me. Welcome
to the show. So let's get back to a little bit of your backstory. How did you get started? I know that you've got a great bookkeeping service and helping businesses really maximize their profits, but how did that come all about? So share it with us.
I had been looking for doing my own business for years and couldn't quite figure out what it would be. I had been working for numerous companies over the years, doing accounting, doing management, running warehouses, essentially running some of these multi-million dollar companies. While the owners were gone, they just pick off for a month and I would just run things. I always felt underappreciated. My mom had knee replacement surgery, and she had gotten MRSA really bad in the hospital. We actually thought she might die. They were having a hard time getting control of it. And I was stuck between wanting to be there with her. She was in for a couple of weeks, and my responsibilities financially, like I couldn't be there, not only would my job not need me there, but I couldn't afford to lose the money. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. I need to turn around and start my own company. I need flexibility in the hours and the days that I work. My parents, they're almost 80. They have severe health conditions. I know that there's things I need to do, and I need to be able to financially do that and build something for myself, for my retirement, for when I become older and my son has to take care of me. I just made the decision I couldn't do it anymore working for somebody else. I was just torn in two all the time between work and family things that I felt I needed to do. I figured it all out and spent months getting ready, and Right Way Profits was born.
Wow. So that was really your mom having the knee surgery. Unfortunately, it turned out okay, but she ran through some rough road. Was really a pivotal moment in your life that really changed the direction of your life, because you realized that you were really chained to the job and you were at their whim versus you being able to make the decisions of your life. Yeah, it's interesting because having traveled around the world, one of the things I realized is companies in other countries operate very differently than in the United States. There's a little bit more flexibility on that stuff. You look at European companies, for example, people get a month off and you can take it in a multitude of ways. I got a friend there that I know there, and I've got family there as well. And he gets 40 a month off. What he does is every quarter, he takes a week off. So every 90 days, he takes the breaks, goes out to do something fun, rejuvenates, goes back for another 90-day sprint, takes another break. So he doesn't take it all at one chunk. He breaks it out through the whole year. And he loves it because it gives him a break, gives him a chance to decompress, recharge up, and okay, go for another 90 days. Here, that doesn't happen. It's not even thought of. It's not, zero chance of it happening.
It's very difficult to find a good place to work, let alone find a place that's going to understand and give you that flexibility that you need.
So let's get into a little bit of how did you got started? How did you find your customers? That's really an important question, because you went from being an employee indirectly running the company, because you mentioned earlier that the owners would disappear for a month. They would go out and have the life that you wanted. And you ran the show. So how did you find your customers to get your business going?
So I started looking for customers a couple of months before I left, looking for ones that I would remotely insert building a little bit of the book of business before I turned in my resignation. It was back then looking at like Craigslist ads and looking on Indeed and different places for people who were hiring, trying to see if they would be open to some virtual, if they just wanted a part-time person, and social media. It was difficult. That first year, sucked. You were always worried if you were going to be able to pay yourself. But it slowly got better after that. Made some mistakes with advertising companies that cost me good money. But like I tell my coaching clients, we're all going to make mistakes. It's learning from them and making the same one a second time. It was a lot of grinding that first year. And all I was looking to do, I was just looking to replace per hour what they had been making where I was working. I wasn't looking to grow, to be extremely profitable, to make an actual business that one. It was just something where I could replace my income that first year. Then after that, then we started trying to grow, to be able to hire employees, be able to expand and focus on profitability and processes and things in the business. It was just trying to make a pitch the first year.
You really built it from scratch by trial and error. Initially, basically, as you just mentioned, just want to repeat it. First off was just replacing your income, but more importantly, you really looked at being able to help the people that you were doing to help them become profitable in their business. In turn, because it sounds like you've really grown and you've got a team now, where because of your tenacity of building that business and making sure that your customers are taken care of, they in turn helped you grow your business.
So starting the business, we were strictly bookkeeping for businesses. And over the years, it has changed into bookkeeping and accounting, which no taxes. We now offer fractional CFO services, and of course, we do our profit-first coaching. So the business has evolved over the years to match the needs that we're seeing in our customer base, which is most of the people in the trades and the service industries.
Let's take a quick pause to thank our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by our friends at Ninja Prospecting, the outreach team that makes cold connections feel warm. Here's the deal. Most service business owners are drowning in spammy DMs and cookie-cutter LinkedIn messages that never get a response. Sound familiar? Ninja Prospecting flips that script. They craft human-first outreach that actually sounds like you, and more importantly, gets results. No bots, no fluff, just real conversations that open doors. If you want to stop wasting time on dead-end messages and start filling your pipeline with qualified leads, talk to my friend Adam Packard and his team. Head over to ninjaprospecting.com to schedule a chat today, and be sure to mention you heard about it right here on the Business Superfans, the Service Provider's Edge. And hey, if you're the kind of person who likes to get started right away, you can join their free community at school, skool.com/ninja-prospecting-7704. It's packed with tips to maximize your connections and start making the right new ones. All right, let's get back to our conversation. What would you say is the biggest thing that you've discovered on your journey to build the business where you're at that you can share with our audience that they can bypass some of those challenges because you've gone through it and you can share some of the things that they should be looking at or avoiding so that they can shortcut their growth?
I think the biggest thing that's helped me back in business has actually been myself. So a couple of years, I challenged myself and my business coach challenged me to do things that were out of my comfort zone, whether it be something with a new software, expanding something in the business, asking something, trying something new with marketing. So I accepted the challenge and I called it my screw it, just do it year. Every time something came up that was an opportunity, I would tell myself that exact same thing. I'd say, screw it, let's do it. I would dive in and do it, even though I was scared and I was uncomfortable, and it was probably something I had no knowledge of. After the first couple of months, I found that I had the biggest business growth in those couple of months that I had had in a couple of years. That my fears and anxiety were what was holding me back and holding my business. And now every time I'm met with something that's a challenge in one way or another, I know that I have to do it because the reward is going to be bigger than if I would do no.
Sure. You brought up two things I want to kind of bring up here. One is you got yourself a business coach, and it's a big difference when you have somebody that you can brainstorm with that's outside looking in and can give you some different opinions than talking to yourself and trying to figure out the challenge. Second of all is the screw it, just do it is a great Sir Richard Branson quote. So I just wanted to re-emphasize that because that's one of the things he talks about is just screw it and just do it. That was one of his approaches. Look at where he's at today. So you're following in those similar footsteps.
We don't realize how much we limit ourselves because we make things up in our mind to be scary or more difficult than what they are. And we just have to retrain our brain that scary or difficult isn't bad. It's a room for growth. It's how you become more than what you are.
Absolutely. I've gone through some challenges myself, and self-doubt kind of gets in the way, and you have to get yourself out of your own way because you're sometimes your worst enemy. That's what you're really talking about, is you got yourself out of your own way, and all of a sudden things start to happen. And so it's very profound to really realize that, because once you realize to get yourself out of your own way and do the screw it, just do it, things start to happen in a positive way. So Debbie, let's talk a little bit about, what do you do exactly for some of the small businesses that you work with? You probably have some even larger companies today that you're working with. I mean, you mentioned bookkeeping and fractional CFO services and stuff, but what's the biggest thing that you guys do with businesses when you start working with them?
We want to make sure that our clients have good, clean books, because financial decisions should be based on that information. So they have garbage going in, then there's going to be garbage coming out when we're looking at what decisions they should be doing in their business, and looking at how do we help to become more profitable? How do we plug leaks? Where is your profit going if it's not sitting in your bank account? If your numbers are a wreck, we're not going to be able to track it down. So we want a good set of books. And then we want to make sure that it's truly a partnership, that we're educating our clients. We're not here to make business decisions for you. We're here to be a partner in helping you decide what's best for your business, to give you options, to give you advice, to be a sounding board for what you're thinking, and maybe flip it and show you the other side of that. Because business owners, we don't have that many people to talk or talk to. We try and talk to a spouse who probably has no idea what we're talking about, doesn't understand the stress of the decisions that we have to make. It's just so helpful to have someone who's invested in your success, who wants to see you grow, who is there as many times as you need to help you understand what's going on in the company, to help you make some of those decisions, and to guide you to build profit into everything that you do. It should be built into every transaction in your business. If you have proper processes and double checks in your business, you will leak your profits out. People in this, in the trades, they work so hard. They put so much blood, sweat, and tears into their businesses, and they deserve to succeed. Unfortunately, most businesses don't. And we just want to help them have the knowledge, and somebody in their corner helps them to actually get their business to where they want it to be. They started a business for a reason, whether it's they wanted to spend more time with family, or they want money away for their kid college funds, or they wanted something to sell for retirement. How will we work with you to get you those end goals?
I can completely appreciate what you're doing, because I recently worked a couple of years ago with a company, and it was a husband and wife business. They had been in business for 30 years, and it was a lifestyle business. They would take a month off, go traveling every so often, different parts of the world, something that they enjoyed, and they had the company running by itself, but it was really stuck at about a million, a little under a million, but it was a lifestyle business. And they looked and says, okay, we got money in the bank. We're good. Let's take off. There was no strategy. It just, they winged it. Unfortunately, the husband passed away. I stepped in to run the company. And we had to bring in a forensic CFO to come in and clean up the books. I share the story because what you're doing is very, very important because it was a disaster. The company, it was zero chance of it being sold or growing or anything like that because of the fact that the books were a disaster. They had personal stuff, personal cars in there and everything else improperly categorized, invoicing in the wrong time periods and all that stuff. It took 6 months for them to clean up the books because they had to go back at least 5 years to clean them up from 5 years before. Because if you want to sell something, you're going to look at what the historical information is. And we ended up getting the company sold, but it was a challenge because of exactly what you're talking about is it was a lifestyle business. They worked. It was a service-based company. But they never really paid attention to all those details because, well, we made $100,000 this year or $50,000, right? We're positive, all good, and that was it. But they were leaving so much money on the table. So what you do is really, really important.
It's not how much you make. It's not what your revenue is. It's what's left in your bank account at the end of the month. That's what matters because so many people believe that the answer to their problem is increasing their sales. You got to think about your business as a strainer. You have all these little holes, and these holes need to be plugged because your profit is falling through them. If you want to turn around, work, and just have enough to pay your bills at the end of the day, then you're going to work with that strainer. But if you're somebody who wants to get somewhere, go somewhere, build something, you're going to have to find those holes and plug them because you want profit left at the end of every month. You want all your bills paid. You want money set aside to pay your income tax, to turn around and have your payroll money there and ready ahead of time. You want to plan for expansion, for hiring new employees. You want to put money away to buy that next new van so that you don't have to get a loan or get as big of a loan. You need that profit and you need to seal those holes. And that's what everybody in the service business needs.
Yeah, one of the things that I did with that company is that I increased the rate that we were charging for services by $5 an hour. Minuscule amount. Most customers didn't realize it. We announced it. We were transparent about it. And I had a couple people ask and saying, hey, wait a minute, our invoice is different. I says, yeah, we just increased by $5. I says, we haven't increased prices in years. So because of inflation and everything has changed, blah, blah, blah. It says it's a minuscule amount. They go, yeah, that's fine. It's reasonable. Poof. But that $5 over hours and hours and hours is a lot of money. And it transformed a negative income for that company when we really cleaned up the books to a positive net income. And it was just a $5, a little minuscule tweak. But that tweak is huge. It goes back to one of my quotes, the little things are really the big things. And that was a little thing, but it was really a big thing. Absolutely. At the end of the day. So Debbie, talk about a story, share a story with our listeners, how you worked with the company when you got them on board. They were a disaster. I'm sure you've ran into at least one of those. You've transformed them and they've become now one of your biggest super fans that is promoting you to anybody that they know.
We have a client who is an auto, actually, and they work more on the fancy cars. And he came to us. He had just bought the business. He bought it from his boss. Records were a mess. We have implemented Profit First, cleaned up his books. We take care of those for him. He now has something like 9 bank accounts He has doubled his revenue, and his profitability is something that most people only dream of. He's turning around and has accounts to buy equipment in cash. He's paying his personal and his business taxes through the business and has money left over. He has no payroll problems. He's been able to give himself two raises and bring his personal revenue more in line with what he was hoping to be able to make. As a business owner, he runs a lean, mean business that pays him quarterly profit distributions on top of his increased salary.
So you've really transformed from a negative situation to where the books were a mess, kind of like the company I just talked about. Now he's one of your super fans, and I'm sure he's telling everybody that he knows how you've completely transformed his life, really, in a sense. Not only his business, but now he has a lifestyle that he can enjoy because he's got the profit, which leads me into talk about your profit first kind of stuff.
Profit first is really a cash management. Most people in business, they have one or two bank accounts, maybe a credit card account or two, and they just kind of log into the bank. They see how much money is in the account, and they make whatever decision they need to make based off of that number. And that number is not a true number to base decision. For example, let's say this is your business, and in your bank account, you've got $42,000 in your life, 42K. I'm good. I'm going to go upgrade everybody's cell phones for all the technician. I can hire a new person with what's in my bank account. But in reality, 18,000 of that 42,000 needs to pay for the next payroll run. You have quarterly estimated tax payments that need to be made. That's another $5,000 out of that 42 grand. Now we have to turn around and have some money put away to pay for your material bills that you've incurred but haven't paid yet. So there's another $17,000 gone. So you looked at 42, we're going to make decisions based on that, but that's not really what's left at the end of the day in your account to spend. You might have $8,000 left by the time money has been put away for all of your obligations. Bank balance accounting doesn't work if you have one or two accounts. You need multiple accounts with specific purposes that you are putting money in and stealing money from. So businesses tend to look at the equation sales minus expenses equals your profit. Your profit is hopefully something that's left at the end of the day. As human beings, we always put the emphasis on what comes first. It's just natural for us. And that's where we get the emphasis on the sales and your expenses. We need to flip that and go sales minus your profit equals your expenses. Your expenses must fit what's left over. So the profit comes out first and is put away. So you're ensuring that you're always going to be profitable.
That's an interesting approach. I've not heard that before, but that's an interesting approach. Your thing that you're doing is you're, with the multiple bank accounts, it just made me realize what you're doing is the old jar thing or envelopes where you listen to some people and you put, this is money for vacation, this is money for medical, this is money for groceries, et cetera, and they're all in different envelopes or different jars. You're doing the same concept with different bank accounts. So I never heard somebody use that approach for business, but that's really clever.
There's a book I'll call Profit First by Mike Michalowicz, and I recommend every business owner reads it. It is the best $20 you are ever going to spend. Profit First is based on 5 core bank accounts. So there is an income account. That's where all the deposits. And then you have a private account, the owner's pay account, a tax account, and an OPEX account. All of your bills are paid out of your OPEX. It takes a couple minutes to get things situated correctly. But how that works is you receive your deposits in the income account. We take a predetermined percentage, say once a week, twice a month, whatever kind of allocation frequency your business needs. We take, say, 5% of your income and we put it in your profit account. Take 25% and put it in your owner's pay account. We put 15% in your tax account and what's left goes into your OPEX. And you have to run your business on what's in that OPEX account. If you have too many expenses, you have to cut expenses and learn to run your business on less. Human nature is the more we have, the more we're going to spend. If you increase your revenue by $10,000 a month, guess what? Your expenses are going to go up too. Sometimes people actually spend more than what the revenue increase was and they get themselves. The whole idea is we use creativity. We're frugal. We cancel streams we're not using. We cancel subscriptions that we've been paying for the last 10 years that we haven't opened it up in 6 months. And we make sure that we're running the business on what we have available. We get rid of things that we want or we desire and only keep what's needed. And that's how we get lean. Then we go back to that calendar and then we see where are we leaking. We start to fix that. We look at pricing and labor and efficiencies and all different spots of the business to see where are those holes and how we fix them so that you do have enough money at the end of the month to pay everything and everybody, and you have that profit left and you're putting money away for taxes, and there's no more sleepless nights wondering, what the hell am I going to do tomorrow? I have to pay people and I don't have the cash. Those days are over.
That's not a good feeling. That's not a good spot to be in. Let me ask you, Debbie, because some of these banks have now created these vaults where you can create a vault into your account and you move money and you can name the vault whatever you want and move money into that. Do you recommend doing that or do you recommend having separate bank accounts?
The money is really just there in one account and they're just trying to show you it broken out. We like separate bank accounts, and for some accounts, we make them savings accounts so that we can earn interest. But I don't like the bubble.
That's why I asked the question, because that's good advice. That's really good advice to setting it up as a savings account, because now you're actually making money on that account, and you probably could even have it as an investment type of an account, so you're even getting higher interest rate, especially probably with the profit account. You could put that into something that's making you some decent interest on
Absolutely.
It.
Some clients even have investment accounts that they put some of their percentage in every month so that they can build those. Business owners are able to get their percentages in line with where they should be. They're able to start offering benefits maybe to their employees. They're able to grow the business in the way that they had seen in their mind before they started. Because you have to have cash to do it. You have to control your money. You have your money. And unfortunately, most people are reactive to the money in their business. It's open my phone. Oh, I've got money. Great. Let me pay these three bills that are 2 months overdue. They're, oh, I've got no money. I'm going to go out and knock on doors today because we have one job. And I'm going to hit the neighborhood and try my best to get another because we're broke. We don't want to be reactive to what's going on in the business. We want to run our business, control our cash. That's the only way that you end up succeeding in business.
That brings me to a question here that I want to do is, what one action that a business owner could do that you could give them to do in the next 24 hours that they should do?
I would say order the book, get it on Audible, get it on Kindle, get a hard copy. I'm a hard copy kind of girl. Order in the book and open up a new bank account and start putting 1% of your income into that account and call it your private account.
That's excellent advice. I think I'm going to do that myself because that's great advice. That's really, really good advice. Nobody's ever really brought that up, and I really like that approach. And I really encourage our listeners to get the book, and I'm going to get the book. And more importantly, open up a couple different accounts and start investing your money into those accounts. Not really investing, but placing them in there. But at the same time, it's an investment account if you open up a savings account like you advise. So great advice. So Debbie, as we kind of come closer to the end here, how can people find you?
They can go to our website, rightbabeprofits.com. And I created a downloadable for your audience of our starter kit and cash flow self-assessment. So it's going to help them turn around, look at what's going on in their business, do what we call an instant assessment, which kind of gives them where their percentages are now, where their percentages should be for a healthy business. It's a way for them to be able to gauge what's going on. It's also going to help them to see, am I leaking money? Are my expenses too high? What's going on in my business? Am I paying myself what I should be? How far off am I? And then you can go into the book and you can learn the system. You can say, okay, now I have all this knowledge. This is how I'm going to start to fix my business. You can choose to go it alone, or you can choose to reach out to somebody who's certified in that Profit First method to help you implement that and make those changes in your business.
Well, that's a very generous offer and great advice for our listeners. I highly recommend they take advantage of that. We'll make sure that's in our show notes for our listeners. And Debbie, it's been a great conversation. Would love to definitely have you on the show down the road again and continue this conversation because it's very insightful for our listeners. And at the end of the day, you can do all the marketing, you can do great services and everything else, but if you don't have cash left over, none of that matters.
I had a great time. I'd be happy to come.
Thank you so much for your time, Debbie. We look forward to having you on the show down the road. That wraps this episode of the Business Superfans, the Service Provider's Edge, with our guest, Debbie Decknight from Right Way Profits. We unpacked how service providers can stop the cash flow chaos and finally start keeping more of what they earn by using profit-first principles to take control and create real profit on purpose. Debbie reminded us that profit isn't luck, it's leadership. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm grateful you're here and part of the Business Superfans journey. Every listen, every action you take gets you one step closer to building your own superfans. If you enjoyed today's conversation, please make sure you hit subscribe so you don't miss future episodes. And if you're ready to turn insight into action, schedule your free Prosperity Pathway discovery call at prosperitypathway.chat. Remember, one action, one stakeholder, one superfan closer.
We hope you took away some useful knowledge from today's episode of the Business Superfans Podcast. Join us on the next episode as we continue guiding you on your journey to achieve flourishing success in business.